From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. The crowd in Las Vegas loved it. Hillary Clinton showed up strong for the first Democratic debate. Bernie Sanders held his own and then some. Martin O'Malley warmed over the two-plus hours. Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb were sweet and sour bookends to the lineup. And the issues? Capitalism, socialism, oligarchy, guns, and, for a minute, emails. So what about the audience outside the hall? You, this hour on Point, sizing up the Democrats' first debate. Bernie Sanders, right out of the gate, opening statement, inequality, his issue.
The middle class of this country for the last 40 years has been disappearing. Millions of Americans are working longer hours for low wages, and yet almost all of the new income and wealth being created is going to the top 1%.
What should the U.S. look like? Here's Bernie Sanders.
I think we should look to countries like Denmark, like Sweden, and Norway, and learn from what they have accomplished for their working people.
Hillary Clinton?
I think what Senator Sanders is saying certainly makes sense in the terms of the inequality that we have. But we are not Denmark. I love Denmark. We are the United States of America, and it's our job to rein in the excesses of capitalism so that it doesn't run amok.
And that, just for starters. Joining me now from Las Vegas is Molly Ball, staff writer for The Atlantic. She covers U.S. politics. Molly, welcome.
Hi. Great to be here.
And from Las Vegas, Sam Frizzell covers politics and the 2016 Democrats for Time. Sam, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And from Washington, Janelle Ross is with us. She covers race, gender, immigration, and equality for The Washington Post. That's a lot. Janelle, welcome to you.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. And thank you very much for being here. Molly and Sam, you were there in the press room watching, I guess, from just outside the hall. Hillary Clinton, everybody is saying, I don't know, maybe they expected her to get beaten up after pretty tough months on the trail. She didn't. Molly, how did she pull this magic off?
Well, I think part of it may have been that the tone toward Hillary's campaign had become so negative over the summer. She had such a bad run, so many controversies that she seemed unable to handle, so much criticism coming at her from seemingly everyone, that there was almost nowhere to go but up. But she really did turn in a very strong performance. I think the conventional wisdom had become that she was such a flawed candidate. She was so inept. She was barely a human being, right? There's this idea out there that she was incapable of being authentic. So when she comes on the stage and she actually does seem like a person, which maybe is a low bar, but, and, you know, she was very deft. She was very prepared. And this is harder than it looks. You look at all the Republicans who've been trying to turn in a debate performance this strong, this effective. She got a lot of tough questions and she was able to parry the criticism. And I was surprised at how sharply she attacked some of her opponents, going after Bernie Sanders, going after Martin O'Malley. There had been this idea that she was going to try and stay above the fray, and she really didn't. She really got into it.
Sam, this seemed more like the warm and funny Hillary of Saturday Night Live than some of the kind of cold, robotic appearances we've seen on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I think that part of that comes from sort of the intense preparation that she went through. I mean, we know that she had been preparing for several weeks, doing sort of the classic debate prep where you have one aide playing one of the candidates. She had an aide playing Bernie Sanders, another playing Martin O'Malley, excuse me. And I think that she came in prepared and was confident. And there was a funny moment after I think it was the last commercial break. She ran off to go to the bathroom and she came back and she said, it takes me longer than these guys. She sort of referencing the men on the stage. And it was a funny moment and she seemed relaxed and she smiled easily. So I think part of that has to do with the preparation that she went through.
Janelle Ross, what did you think of CNN's staging of the whole thing? Anderson Cooper was front and center the whole night, but there were more. We kind of oddly brought in just for little tiny bits. Here's a question about black people from a black man or about Latinos from a Latino man. What did you make of the setup, Janelle?
It struck me as a little unusual, perhaps is a word for it, or maybe a little odd, and certainly I think a little contrived. I think that all of the journalists that were present last night certainly have the credentials to contribute a number of questions about a range of issues, and that just didn't really happen.
You are writing that, look, more of a third of the country is now minority, and what's with this off-in-the-wings presentation?
That's certainly true. I would say we should move past describing it as more than a third. We're inching towards 40% of the country being non-white. And it is certainly essential that I think the country, its major institutions, and its politics reflect that.
The Republicans with 11 in their last debate, with Carly Fiorina in there and Donald Trump in the center instead of Hillary Clinton. Just 5 last night, but there was certainly a range of personalities up there. Lincoln Chafee, former Rhode Island governor and senator, talked about his clean ethical record.
I'm very proud that over my almost 30 years of public service, I have had no scandals. I've always been honest. I have the courage to take the long-term view, and I've shown good judgment. I have high ethical standards.
Molly Ball, what did you make of what you'd have to call the other three last night, I guess? I mean, Martin O'Malley in there pitching, but Webb, who complained loudly about the time that he wasn't getting, you know, airtime. Jim Webb, Lincoln Chafee, Martin O'Malley. What about this part of the five?
All of these candidates, that are polling in low single digits, really needed a breakout moment if they were going to come into the top tier with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, and none of them got it. And Webb and Chafee, in particular, just seemed perplexing. Like, why were they there? I don't think that they offered a compelling rationale for their candidacy or why they felt motivated to run for president. I think anybody watching would still be scratching their head at the end of it. And, you know, O'Malley is someone who has really struggled to get traction in this race, despite a resume that would seem to be conducive to being a pretty legitimate alternative to Hillary if people were looking for one. And the same for him. You know, he had some okay lines, but there was nothing where people would go, oh, that's what I want. That's different than something anybody else is offering. That's something compelling. He has a sort of a laid-back presentation, a little bit contemplative, and there's not I don't think he lit a fire under anyone to say, oh, there's that guy, you know, that I didn't know about and now I'm compelled to support.
Sam, how do you make sense of these other candidates? In the Republican debates, you've got a lot of people up there. And you can argue about, you know, how tall they stand, but a lot of them are in the game. Here it seemed like two very tall and three just in a different tier.
I think just to go back to Martin O'Malley, I mean, he's one of the perplexing candidates on the Democratic field. I mean, this is a guy who would have appeared to do everything right if you want to run for president. I mean, he was mayor of a large city. He was a two-term governor. There's a story of him, his birthday cake when he was 4 years old said Martin O'Malley for president in 2004. So this is a guy who's clearly had presidential ambitions for a long time. And he's, as Molly said, he's been languishing in the polls. And this would have been his moment to break out. And I don't think that he had one. There was a couple of moments where sort of he drew distinctions between him and Hillary Clinton on Glass-Steagall, which is a banking regulation law from sort of the Depression era. Hillary Clinton ended up actually – she cut him down by hugging him. There was a moment in the debate where she said, Martin O'Malley endorsed me for president in 2008. I was glad to have his support. Martin O'Malley's a friend of mine. So any attempt from then on out to sort of set himself up as the foil to Hillary Clinton was kind of stymied.
Janelle, what about that dynamic between the front runners and the other three on this stage compared to maybe the more free-for-all on the Republican stage? What did you see?
You know, I certainly would agree with what your other guests have said. It without a doubt, was notable that there was a real difference in tone and, for that matter, content of this debate that certainly must have been at least helped by the fact that there were only 5 people on that stage as opposed to 11, and that none of the personalities on that stage, I suppose, have sort of excelled at the art of self-promotion. However, I would also have to agree that while there was certainly much more space and, despite Jim Webb's complaints, time given to some of the lesser-known candidates and the candidates who are not polling well.
Well, there are only 5 instead of 11. It's easier to spread the time, I guess.
Right. It's a simple matter of mathematics and time. Well, I would agree. I also, you know, I really have to, I guess, sort of co-sign on the idea that there was probably very little in the way that happened last night that convinced anyone who was on the fence about one of the frontrunner candidates, or perhaps was unsure about those who are running far behind, that they needed to make a switch. And so none of those sort of other guys on the stage had that moment that they really do need.
Lincoln Chafee came right out talking about his ethical career. Jim Webb about politicians co-opted by the system. Was that a dig at Hillary? Here he was last night, Virginia Senator Jim Webb.
Intimidating incumbents and empowering Wall Street every day with the turnstile government that we see, and also the power of the financial sector in both parties. They're looking for a leader who understands how the system works, who has not been co-opted by it.
Molly Ball, is that the best they had to go after Hillary? She really wasn't much of a finger laid on her last night. Not much.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that that was sort of the best he could do, and it was sort of muddled. It was not a very strong attack. I think Bernie Sanders had a very good line in the debate about Wall Street when he said, "I don't think Congress regulates Wall Street. I think Wall Street regulates Congress." That was a great line for him, and something that implied that the whole sort of Washington establishment, the insider class, which by extension sort of includes Hillary, although she hasn't been in Congress for a while. And then a problem with that is that Bernie Sanders is the one who is currently serving in Congress in Washington. But and I thought that the whole debate about Wall Street, which should have been the best opportunity for Bernie to distinguish himself from Hillary, she was very adroit at sort of tap dancing around the fact that while she doesn't favor reinstating the Glass-Steagall regulations, she has introduced a Wall Street plan that she says would be even more effective at cracking down on the big banks.
We're talking this hour about the Democrats in debate, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and the rest of the crew on stage last night in Las Vegas. Molly Ball is with us. She was there last night, staff writer for The Atlantic. Sam Frizzell was there as well, covers the politics, the 2016 Democrats for Time. Janelle Ross was watching from Washington. She's with The Washington Post and joins us from the nation's capital today. Did you see the next president of the United States up there last night? Anderson Cooper bore in on Bernie Sanders and his politics. Capitalist, socialist. Here's Cooper, then Sanders.
You don't consider yourself a capitalist, though.
Do I consider myself part of the casino capitalist process by which so few have so much and so many have so little, by which Wall Street's greed and recklessness wreck this economy? No, I don't. I believe in a society where all people do well, not just a handful of billionaires.
And what about Hillary? Is she really a progressive, or does she wiggle around depending on the venue? Here's Hillary in response to Anderson Cooper.
I'm a progressive. But I'm a progressive who likes to get things done. And I know how to find common ground. And I know how to stand my ground. And I have proved that in every position that I've had, even dealing with Republicans who never had a good word to say about me, honestly.
Janelle Ross, I guess this goes kind of right to the nub of the difference between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. He is very outspoken. He wants a political revolution. We've got very big forces aligned against the middle class. He wants a big change, not afraid to bring up Denmark and Norway and all the rest in order to try and describe it. Not walking away from the socialist tag last night, rather saying, let's have Americans understand it. That's a change. Hillary Clinton saying, wait a minute, capitalism helped build the middle class in this country. I'm a progressive, but I want to get things done. Who was more persuasive on these fundamental self-characterizations, I guess, Janelle?
You know, I think that for the sort of center left voter, Hillary Clinton's argument is something that they've heard before and is going to, you know, resonate with them as well today. However, I do think it's important to note that apparently Bernie Sanders generated quite a lot of Google activity, quite a lot of search activity on the word socialism. So there was something about what he said last night that certainly sparked people's interest, made them curious, made them want more information for themselves. So that probably shouldn't be discounted either. And without a doubt, America probably heard a lot more about Denmark and other Nordic countries than they have in years.
Sam, where does the fight go on this front? Hillary, you know, I can find common ground, but I stand my ground. And yet she's taken a lot of heat for having been in the system for a long time, being part of a dynasty, some of the same criticism Jeb Bush faces on the GOP side.
Did she resolve that last night? Did Bernie Sanders keep his torch for big change, the deep complaint, high?
Well, 2 points. One is that on that line when she cut into Bernie Sanders for there's this moment where Anderson Cooper, the moderator, asked Bernie Sanders whether he is a capitalist. And when Hillary Clinton cuts in, that was sort of a moment that she had planned. Bernie had sort of given a preview of that on a talk show on Sunday that mm-hmm. he refused to say that he was capitalist. And she sort of anticipated that. And I think it was one of her most successful lines. And that line, "I'm progressive, but I'm a progressive who likes to get things done," that is a sort of – that's an oblique – that's an oblique criticism of Bernie Sanders' own record. I think that she could point to the fact that he is one of the lower records in Congress of getting bills passed. As far as sort of whether she's an establishment politician, I think that she has a good line that she uses during her stump speech. She says, "I can't imagine anything more anti-establishment than a woman being the first." Than the first woman president being elected in 2016. So I think that she did a good job of sort of preparing lines for her weakest points for the debate.
Does it sell, Molly? I mean, Bernie was up there. He was sort of a noble, sticking with his line there, not afraid to articulate it, but bold by historical American standards in putting it out there. Hillary Clinton picking up on that when she says, "But capitalism, you know, has built the American class in this country," or something like that. What did you see being more moving between these two? Do we move their camps, or is there a big fence sitting population that you awesome pundits have identified thus far?
No, I actually think they both spoke very well to their sort of segments of the party. I think Hillary was very persuasive to the sort of mainstream of the Democratic Party, the Democratic establishment, and even a lot of liberal activists probably heard things that they liked from her because she has moved to sort of protect her left flank. And they're gratified that she's not only running a sort of general election campaign, that she has felt the need to speak to primary voters. But I think for voters looking for an outsider, for voters looking for someone who is going to sort of take on the establishment and this, you know, as the moderator said last night, this very much is the year of the outsider, a year when people are fed up with the system. And, you know, Bernie makes a very good case for that. Bernie is someone who knows what he thinks and has been consistent on a lot of these issues. And for people who were looking for that, you know, a lot of the sort of social media feedback was there was a lot of buzz about Bernie from maybe people who hadn't seen so much of him before or who had heard about him but hadn't really seen him in person. And, you know, he has a very unique delivery. Sometimes he seemed to be sort of shouting at the camera, but he's very effective in communicating his views. And I think they both did a good job of sort of establishing where they stood.
Let's get our listeners in here a lot, listening and watching across the country. Des Moines, Iowa. Nate, thank you for calling. You're on the air, Nate.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say that I've been speaking to my fellow Democrats today, and no one really seems to think that they've been swayed one way or the other. When I ask them who they're going to caucus for, no one has really changed camps or even thought about it after the debate. And I wanted to ask the panelists if they thought that this would change the outcome at all, or if it was really just more theater than anything.
Well, I mean, it's always theater because you're on a stage, but people have to make up their minds, and they make up their minds by listening and watching, I guess. Molly, did you see the needle moving? What's going to move it over the course of these, what is it, 5 debates they'll have in total?
Well, I would love to ask the caller, actually, because mm-hmm. it's great to hear from someone sort of on the ground in Iowa. Were people's minds made up, or were there a lot of people who were up in the air about who they would support? Because I think at this early stage, maybe people with their minds made up aren't changing them, but what about all those people who are still undecided?
Nate, the political reporter is looking at you. What do you say?
Well, Molly, I would say that most of the people I talked to made up their minds pretty early. At the Wingding in Storm Lake, Iowa, there was actually a lot of excitement for Hillary Clinton and almost no excitement for Bernie Sanders. So that's the one change that I would say I've seen over the course of the process so far, is that there's a lot more support for Bernie Sanders than there once was. But I almost feel like by now people's minds are made up. I don't hear a lot of excitement for Webb or Chafee. I just hear a lot of excitement for either Clinton or Sanders. And honestly, it's hard to say based on the people I talk to who would win the caucus, because they really seem pretty evenly split around here. I know the polls say differently, but it's hard to make a firm decision on that.
Nate, I appreciate your call. Janelle Ross, what about it? A lot of people, we've seen them. Bernie Sanders talked about it last night, turning out for his rallies, feeling the burn, as they like to say, enough to take his, you know, this isn't a cookie-cutter candidacy. This is not a message that comes out every 4 years that he's made so prominent now, enough to keep that viable and strong against Hillary right through the race?
You know, certainly, I think there was ample evidence of what it is that Bernie Sanders' existing supporters really appreciate about Sanders, and certainly evidence that the issues that he's worked very hard to sort of inject into this race have at this point also become central to the campaigns of other people that were on that stage. I think, you know, I was as fascinated, I suppose, as Molly by what the caller had to say from Iowa. It would seem that in many ways what he was describing is exactly what you're seeing in the polls. Most of this sort of up and down momentum in the polls in Iowa and elsewhere has taken place between Clinton and Sanders. There is very little in the way of change that has been happening among those other three guys that were on the stage. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially exactly what that caller was describing. So, you know, I would say that at this moment, what we know, and there are so many things that can obviously change very quickly, at this moment, what we know is certainly Sanders has some real appeal and is drawing some huge crowds. Whether or not that will last or can be sustained well into the new year, we can only wait and see.
A lot of people, including no doubt Joe Biden, looking at the issues that have swirled around Hillary Clinton and whether they would pull her down, maybe foremost among them. I mean, the Benghazi hearing, yes, we'll see. But the email controversy, she went straight at it last night with a little assist from the House Republican Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who's spoken about this in maybe an impolitic way, but said, well, here's Hillary Clinton saying this is politics.
Let's just take a minute here and point out that this committee is basically an arm of the Republican National Committee. It is a partisan vehicle, as admitted by the House Republican Majority Leader, Mr. McCarthy, to drive down my poll numbers. Big surprise. And that's what they have attempted to do. I am still standing. I am happy to be part of this debate.
And then this moment where Hillary Clinton says she doesn't want to talk about that. She wants to be president. And Bernie Sanders gives her an awfully big gift.
Tonight, I want to talk not about my emails, but about what the American people want from the next president
Senator
of the
Sanders,
United
States. Senator Sanders, let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
That was some moment. And then a handshake. I mean, Sam, interpret that for us. He may be right. That may not be great politics. This has been a major vulnerability for her. If he wants to go hammer and tongs after her, to speak to the questions about trustworthiness, that was the way to go. But he didn't. Maybe, you know, simple as that, that his issues are bigger than emails. He wants to say, why exactly? It sounded like one big prepared moment in a largely improvised night. Why do you think Bernie Sanders went there, Sam?
If you talk to his advisors, they say that it wasn't planned, whether you believe that or not.
Okay.
I think that he does that. That is totally in line with the kind of candidate Bernie Sanders is. He is somebody who has an almost single-minded focus on bringing his pet issues into the debate. And he's been very successful at doing that. If you see him on the stump, he has a well-rehearsed and very consistent stump speech. And I think you saw him deliver that in the debate last night. And he is one to very sort of consistently complain that the media pays far much attention to politics as if it were a soap opera or a baseball game. Those are the words that mm-hmm. he uses. So I think it was unsurprising for him to say, enough with the emails. We want to focus on the issues that I care about, which are, expanding Social Security, free college, free college tuition at public universities, single-payer health care system. So I think that line was unsurprising and also a boon for the Clinton campaign. You can almost imagine it being used in an ad. But it certainly was a gift.
Janelle, yes, please.
Yeah, I think Sam's exactly right, that this is perfectly in keeping with Bernie's brand. And people who like Bernie love that he keeps it focused on substance, focused on the issues. Yeah. I do think he missed an opportunity to pivot from there to say, let's not talk about this BS about emails, but let's talk about where we disagree on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that he missed a lot of opportunities, actually, to make substantive contrasts with Hillary Clinton, to say, I'm over here on the left, she's over here in the middle, this is where we disagree on substance, because he does know where they differ on the issues, whether it's historically in their records or in their current positioning. And he sort of repeatedly did not take the opportunities he was given, even after she attacked him. She went after him on guns, and he just sort of continued to take the high road.
Almost as though he was determined to look, I don't know, presidential or cool-headed last night, not too much like the angry man there. But he's going to have to dig in there if he wants to sharpen that contrast more explicitly. Laura in Newport, Rhode Island. Laura, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. I actually wonder if there isn't something additional playing out here. I was really also struck by the gentleness with which the other male candidate treated Hillary Clinton. And part of me wonders if it would sort of appear as our first female presidential candidate, if the male candidates really went after her, there's a way in which that could look really distasteful, and like they were sort of ganging up on her, and with the sort of power differential between men and women, if that isn't also underlining how the male candidates aren't conducting.
But Laura, let me ask you. I mean, to me, last night, Hillary didn't seem like a damsel in distress who needed chivalrous males to bail her out. You could argue that she seemed far and away the sort of strongest, most composed figure on the stage, Laura.
Certainly, I would absolutely agree. But I actually wonder about perception. You know, clearly, there's lots of us who don't see her as a damsel in distress, and I'm not implying that she is in any way, shape, or form, but that I'll be curious to watch how this plays out and if the treatment of her ever gets more kind of classically vicious in politics. I mean, it's been vicious over the summer, but it was just a thought that I had as I was watching this.
Yeah, no, we've got it, Laura, and I appreciate that. Yep, Laura, thank you very much. Molly Ball, I mean, once she gets into the ring with a Republican, things could be quite different. But I didn't really see a street fighter up there last night to take her on. Not yet. Not last night.
No, and I think the caller's point is a good one, that that male candidates always have to be wary of seeming condescending or aggressive toward a woman candidate. You know, in Hillary's Senate campaign against Rick Lazio in New York, there was that famous moment where he sort of confronted her physically with a pledge to sign, and that became this moment of aggression that was turned into a whole thing that in some ways helped to sink his campaign, or at least accelerated the decline. On the other hand, you know, Hillary lost to a man last time. So there certainly is a playbook for a candidate, Barack Obama in particular, to go after her in a way that is effective and that works. I do remember when, you know, Obama had his famous line, "You're likable enough, Hillary." Mm-hmm. There was a lot of commentary that was condescending and maybe implicitly sexist. So I do think it's something on the other candidate's mind.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Democrats in debate. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and the rest of the crew on stage last night in Las Vegas with Janelle Ross of The Washington Post, Molly Ball of The Atlantic, Sam Frizzell of Time. Sam and Molly in Vegas last night watching, and maybe you were too. Were you satisfied or not with what you heard from the Democrats on guns, emails, Black Lives Matter, the middle class, capitalism? Is there room for Joe Biden up there next time? Is there need a vacuum or not? Who won? To your ear, to your eye. Lots of feedback online here. Anna says, this Iowan's mind is not made up yet. I thought I was solid Hillary, but Bernie is really appealing. Elle says Bernie Sanders clearly won. Mainstream media, owned by the 1%, of course, will support Hillary. Interesting, Bernie Sanders making an issue of corporate media sympathies there last night. Nora says foreign policy views were wishy-washy. No one on that stage addressed my concerns. And it's true, there wasn't a lot on that front, first of a number of debates, but we'll see. Here, Shabby says, Chafee, for all his exhibited ineptitude, at least pointed out the questionable judgment Clinton exercised in setting up her private State Department server. And you can count on America hearing a lot more about that, and soon. And one more, big brother, Hillary watched Sanders shine her shoes last night. It wasn't a debate, it was a nomination. Mike in Framingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks. I believe this is an election, and I think all the previous elections always seem to play out this way. In the beginning, the outsider is in, and then eventually they fade away, and the big wigs, the big money takes over. But I think this year it's different. And as far as the debate last night, I thought that I would call it a tie. Why? Because Bernie Sanders, I think, really, when he speaks and what he says, as a progressive like myself, you get this, like, your chest swells. You get, like, pumped. You just feel it. Like, that's exactly what's on my mind. But Hillary, I thought, did real well at keeping her cool. But to me, she comes off like a politician. I guess it goes back to the old saying about her husband. He was called Slick Willie. I guess she'd be Slick Wilma. She just comes off too politician-like, where I think Bernie bucks the system, but what he says gets totally home with, I think, the way most people feel. Because I think Obama kind of set the tone on this. We thought he was going to be different, and he was different.
Hey, Mike, what about Hillary's? What about years, yeah? What about Hillary's counter? She's saying, look, I'm progressive too, but I want to get things done. Now, Bernie is inspiring a lot of people. We see that. But what about the get it done thing? Would he turn into, you know, an isolated guy in the White House? Or do you buy that there's enough, as Bernie asserts again and again, there's so much unhappiness with inequality now that Americans would come out in their millions to support a real change?
Well, he makes a good point. If he's elected, you will see that the domino effect for the House and the Senate. I truly believe that because people will be in the mood and the tone will be set for the elections that, hey, look, Obama is an island, basically. He had the House and the Senate totally against him, and he can barely get anything done short of executive orders. So I think Bernie will end up setting the tone for the rest of the elections. And I think, and this is my prediction, I think the next debate, I think Bernie will be better on his game because I do agree. I don't think he missed opportunities, and there were times he seemed like he was like an old man who, like, he didn't even hear the questions that were asked him. He just sort of went off on his rant. They had to, like, guide him back on point. I think next time he'll be prepared. Let's remember, Hillary's an old dog at this. She had quite a debate with Obama. Anybody that comes out of that is well seasoned. But
shining pretty bright last night. But whether that looks like, you know, glory or a practiced politician, your concern, Mike. I don't know, Janelle Ross. I mean, somebody on Bernie's camp is going to have to tell him not to put his hand behind his ear too often. We all understand it, but it doesn't work so well on the age and vigor front.
This is certainly true. And while they're having a discussion about his hand behind his ear, they'll probably have to have a conversation about those flailing arms and the traffic direction on stage. However, in all fairness,
I have a feeling he's not going to care. This is who I am. Listen to my message.
That's precisely what I was going to say. Yeah. I'm not sure that Sanders, nor those who are most passionate about Bernie Sanders, his campaign, and intend to support him in the primary in their state, I'm not sure that those issues are of great importance to them. So I don't think any of that probably cost Sanders any votes. What he did do last night and what he probably will need to be very mindful of in the next debate is he's got to be more strategic in terms of debating. He cannot continue to miss opportunities to essentially thoroughly highlight whatever differences exist between himself and Hillary Clinton. And he certainly got to find ways to effectively challenge Clinton without, as has been mentioned a little earlier, really sort of stepping across that well-understood line. There were very likely no men that were on that stage last night who had not been warned by some political consultant what the research says about appearing too aggressive or attacking female candidates.
She did not look very vulnerable in her presentation on stage. There's plenty of issues, and we will hear plenty about them. The question, the Black Lives Matter question, it did come up. It was voiced by somebody, I guess, who had sent in a video clip on Facebook for CNN, and that was put in a kind of a awkward moment. Things got jumbled there, but it was put by Don Lemon to the candidates. Bernie Sanders was asked about Black Lives Matter. He had trouble with this earlier in the campaign, but last night he didn't go for All Lives Matter. He just went straight forward. Here it was.
Black Lives Matter. And the reason those words matter is the African-American community knows that on any given day, some innocent person like Sandra Bland can get into a car, and then 3 days later, she's going to end up dead in jail.
Janelle Ross, it was as though the people on the stage got the message. The All Lives Matter, you know, understand a politician going to it, but they were all making the point last night that there's something different and special that people are trying to say in this last year about Black lives and the history of their vulnerability in this country.
It was a striking moment in the sense that it was very clear that all of the candidates on that stage, or I should say most of the candidates on that stage, had been through some sort of process on this issue over the summer. They had done some listening, done some thinking, and it was clear that they had arrived at a set of answers to this question that are probably much more satisfactory to people who are deeply concerned with this issue. That said, there was nothing about that question or those answers that wasn't very clearly pre-planned and very clearly rehearsed. And that question, particularly the way in which it was framed and the language, was just it has to rank among the most predictable things that any candidate on that stage should have expected. I do think it's interesting also to note, though, that this morning Jim Webb has decided to sort of highlight or, send out some tweets about his All Lives Matter message. And while he may feel that there are some political goals or perhaps gains to be made with that, it really ultimately sort of drives home the point that Jim Webb's campaign is at a place where, at minimum, other candidates were in June or July.
So he's got to distinguish himself somehow. Perhaps that's the way. Gun control, issue of differentiation, guns between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. She went after him last night on a bunch of fronts. He hadn't voted for the Brady Bill. He had voted to leave gun manufacturers and dealers with immunity to lawsuits. Here was Hillary going after Sanders on the gun front.
Senator Sanders did vote 5 times against the Brady Bill. Since it was passed, more than 2 million prohibited purchases have been prevented. He also did vote, as he said, for this immunity provision. I voted against it. I was in the Senate at the same time. It wasn't that complicated to me. It was pretty straightforward to me.
The one issue everybody's saying on which Hillary Clinton can get to the left of Bernie Sanders, he wasn't having any of it last night. Sanders.
We can raise our voices, but I come from a rural state, and the views on gun control in rural states are different than in urban states, whether we like it or not. Our job is to bring people together around strong, common sense gun legislation.
Stephanie in San Marcos, Texas. Stephanie, you're on the air. What did you think? And what about guns, Stephanie?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Yeah. I think that Bernie did a great job at just being realistic. It's about mental health. I've heard it so many times on your show. And who won on that stage? I definitely think Bernie Sanders, he's the statesman. He sets himself aside. He doesn't use the usual tactics, but I think that's what makes him amazing. And I just support him so much, and it was great to see him on stage yesterday.
What about Hillary? She's saying, look, I'm the outsider. I'm a woman. You've never seen that in the White House before. What do you say, Stephanie?
That's very true, and I wish I could be as supportive of her because she is a woman, but I just know her jargon. Like, Bernie Sanders says directly, exactly, with words that people can understand. And Hillary is always just kind of batting around the topics, you know? disappointing a little.
Yeah. Stephanie, I appreciate your call very much. Something about that straightforwardness. He may have to prepare more to score points against Hillary, but you've got people responding to the straightforward message. Chris in Omaha, Nebraska. Chris, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Hi, Tom. I just wanted to kind of comment on this. I was kind of on the fence between Hillary and Bernie, and what firmly pushed me into Hillary's side, where I thought she definitely snatched that debate, was when Anderson asked him about what he would do with Putin in Russia, and he just kind of got this deer in the headlight looks, and he stumbled into this like bizarre answer of Putin's going to regret this. I thought that was like, if it isn't something that Bernie can tie back to either like a bumper sticker slogan against Wall Street or income equality, he's completely unprepared. He's so focused on the things that he focuses on that he doesn't think about anything else other than that. And I thought like certain questions like where he can't kind of go back to his comfort zone, he gets tripped up very easily, and I thought Hillary kind of brought it all together, and she was very effective, and like her, you know, when she was a Secretary of State, she's very effective, and she might not be the most left as Bernie, but she gets results done. She, you know, has a lot of accomplishments.
Chris, we've got it, and I know what you mean about Bernie when he gets off of his main theme. On the other hand, in fairness, Putin will regret this is sort of what the Obama White House is saying right now in response to all those moves. We're looking at the Democrats in debate. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's hear a little more on the foreign policy front. Bernie Sanders' main theme there, I will, if at all possible, keep us out of war.
I will do everything that I can to make sure that the United States does not get involved in another quagmire like we did in Iraq, the worst foreign policy blunder in the history of this country.
Would go to war if absolutely had to, but will everything to keep the country out of quagmire. Hillary Clinton indicating in a way that Obama had not been tough enough in Syria, tough enough with Putin, so the U.S. has to lead.
I think it's important, too, that the United States make it very clear to Putin that it's not acceptable for him to be in Syria, creating more chaos, bombing people on behalf of Assad, and we can't do that if we don't take more of a leadership position.
Molly Ball, what exactly is Hillary saying there? Does she have to say anything? Does she have to say, you know, we'll go in more militarily to Syria? Or is it just campaign rhetoric about strength?
Interesting position that Hillary is in, where she is sort of running to the left on domestic policy, but she's on the rightward edge of the Democratic field when it comes to foreign policy. Obviously, she served as Obama's Secretary of State, and the Obama administration's foreign policy is not particularly highly rated by a lot of people. So she's got a real tightrope to walk in defending that and really defending all of the decisions that she made. But here again, she got off pretty easy, you know. There's some tough criticism from the other people on that stage for her, particularly her vote on Iraq. But it's possible to extend that into a critique of her sort of hawkishness as Secretary of State. And none of them really put that together in a cohesive way, I thought. And she had an obviously planned rejoinder to that, which was to say, look, we've had this debate over Iraq. I debated this multiple times with Barack Obama. He won and then he made me his Secretary of State. So clearly he values my judgment. And that was, I thought, a very effective answer on her part to basically say, let's move on from all of this.
A lot of strategic thinking in Hillary's responses, but delivered with some real verve last night. Carlos in Austin, Texas. Carlos, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that – hi, Tom. I just wanted to comment that watching it with my wife was interesting because I feel like she represents a lot of the larger demographic of women voters, highly educated, very wanting very much to support a woman in the White House. But at the end of the debate, the first thing she said is she wanted to send money to Bernie Sanders. So I thought that was interesting.
And why, Carlos, exactly?
Because he's staying on point about income inequality and the sort of structural adjustments that are needed for our economy to make it work for everybody, and also feeling like Hillary is sort of in bed with the financial industry through her backers. I think she just feels really disillusioned by that.
Bernie's got his finger on a great big issue in this country. That's true. Kathy in Mason City, Iowa. Last call. Kathy, you're on.
Hi, Tom. I was impressed with everybody last night, but I'm closer progressively to Bernie Sanders. But I have come to believe, and I've been going to caucuses since 72, that we can't nominate someone that far left, even though I agree with him. I'm excited about Hillary running, and I don't believe the country would ever elect a socialist.
Well, there's the rub. It came up first thing out of the gate last night. Sam, what about it? Did you feel the energy for Bernie to get over that hump with his own party?
Well, what we saw with Bernie last night, and I think this is something we've discussed in this last hour, is that he basically hewed to his stump speech. He's convincing when he delivers it. But on stage, I think that he needed to find more ways to distinguish him from Hillary Clinton. I want to go back to one thing we talked about earlier on foreign policy. I think one of Bernie Sanders' strongest lines was on his vote on the Iraq war. He said, "I saw the same intelligence that everybody else did." He was pointing to Hillary Clinton seeing the same intelligence that Cheney and the Bush White House shared. So I think that was one of his strongest moments, but I'm sure also that Hillary Clinton is tired of hearing about her Iraq war vote at this point.
Well, this one is just getting started. We've seen Republicans out a couple times already. Democrats with their first debate last night. Republicans will be reacting. They are already. It will get tougher, has to get tougher as it goes. Very grateful to the three of you for helping us dive in here today. Sam Frizzell with Time, thank you so much for joining us from Las Vegas today, Sam.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Molly Ball in Las Vegas for The Atlantic. Always great to have you, Molly.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And Janelle Ross with The Washington Post. Thank you very much, Janelle, for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.